If you would return back to the second chapter of the book of Mark this evening, I'd like to finish tonight our message we started this morning entitled Paralyzed People. Paralyzed People. And our message falls at the beginning of a series now as we begin, as I said this morning, to take the month of August and the month of September and really focus and lay into the Great Commission. We've entitled them Great Commission Days. If you were in the Sunday school hour and you were able to see the video, you understand where we get some of this. And really and truthfully, I told the people this morning, for about the next at least 3 weeks, maybe even longer, Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Sunday night will all be building blocks. So if you miss one of those services, I would highly recommend that you either subscribe to iTunes and listen to it on your computer at home through the internet, or you get the CD in the back. But you can, if you do have iTunes or something, you can download that. I think it's a free subscription. And just go to the religious section and go to Plantation Baptist Church or Tom Hunter, and you'll hear my voice. And I turn me down good and low, but you can listen to it. But that's one way to get them, or you can get the CDs there as we do record the messages. But they are building blocks. And I believe that's important as we come out of the fall here or go into the fall that we're ready for what we're going to accomplish in our Sunday school. We're ready for the people God's sending us, and we're ready to do what I believe God's calling us to do as a church. And so we've started these as Great Commission Days, and we started this morning letting everybody know nothing really new, but we talked about the foundation of our church being the Lord Jesus. No other foundation can men lay than that which is laid, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His church. We talked about the power of the church being that from the Holy Spirit. And He is the power of the church. He's the power of our daily lives. And He is the power of heaven. And so we want to be a church that's not only indwelt by the Spirit of God and filled by the Spirit of God, but we want to be a church that's enabled by the Spirit of God. We said that the charge to the church was found in the Great Commission. We understand that. To go into the world and preach the gospel, make disciples. Our motivation is lost souls. And by the way, that was the motivation for the Lord Jesus to come. He said the Son of Man came not to condemn, but He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so it was great motivation for the Lord Jesus to come to the earth and to Calvary, that for being of lost souls. We talked about the goal of a church ought to be to glorify the Lord. That ought to be our number one goal. It's not necessarily to grow crowds or to be known throughout the city, but it's that our church would glorify the precious Lord Jesus. And so we said that left us with the responsibility of organization, how we're going to operate and how we are going to put into action a plan to align our church to the keeping of the Great Commission. And so it's my intention to lead us to a very, very Sunday school organized church. I do believe that people will come to Plantation Baptist Church for the worship service. To tell you the honest truth, most people come to our church because of Kevin. We ought to get an amen. Amen. Really and truly. Everybody who's walking through our doors, when they walk through our doors, they can't believe that we have old-fashioned music, we use the hymn book, we're not dead in our singing, and they love the music. And so I don't say that so Kevin gets a raise. I just say that so Kevin understands that I appreciate that very much. But they're also coming because we use the book. Amen? We'll use the book. They're coming because when they come, the joy of the Lord is here. And I believe the joy of the Lord is here with God's people. And we're encouraged. And I watch and I appreciate the way when a visitor comes in that we're aggressive toward them. And we go up and we shake their hand and we welcome them and we get to know them. And all that's important. We don't know if that person's saved or not. And we want to have an opportunity to show them the love of Christ. But people are coming. And we have a responsibility to go into the world and reach them. And others will come to us. So we want to be organized. Sunday school will do that for us. It's already there. It's structured. And that's the way that we're going to go in that direction. So if you missed the Sunday school time and you would like to see the video we showed, I have that. I'll make it available to you as long as you get it back to me within a reasonable amount of time, because we are going to use it next week. So we went to Mark chapter 2, and we were in Mark chapter 2 because we believed it to be a great illustration of a couple of things. I think Mark chapter 2 illustrates the way people are today. In Mark chapter 2, you found a man who was sick of the palsy. If you really research that, in the Bible encyclopedia I had, it was a paralysis or a shaking of the body, but it was you could not control yourself. You couldn't move on your own. You had to have help. We understand that. And so there was a man. The Bible doesn't say how long he was sick of the palsy. The Bible doesn't say to what degree, other than he obviously can't walk on his own, but he's sick. And really and truthfully, any man without the Lord Jesus is sick of sin, and it's the disease of sin. And so it's a tremendous illustration of our neighbors, our friends, our families who've not been saved. They're paralyzed when it comes to the things of God. And they're paralyzed by sin. And I was flying to get done early, or at least a little bit earlier than normal this morning. And I really didn't get in on that, but sin does captivate people, doesn't it? And you know what? The longer that I grow to know the Lord, and the more that I'm in the Word, the more my heart goes out to people that are bound by sin. To be honest with you, there was a day when I probably didn't care. But now when I see somebody and sin's just ravaging them, my heart goes out to them. I want them to know the Lord Jesus. And so it's bondage. And praise God, the Lord Jesus can break us from that bondage. And so we talked about people being paralyzed, and we said the number one thing that people really are paralyzed by is doubt. They doubt themselves, they can doubt Christians, they can doubt even the Lord Jesus. However, I'll say this too. There's one thing Satan tries to get us to doubt about God, and that is his goodness. All right? The reason he tries to get us to doubt God's goodness, if he can get man to doubt God's goodness, man will never be saved. No man gets saved without reckoning the goodness of God. Say, Pastor, how do you make a statement like that? Well, Romans chapter 2, verse number 4 says that the goodness of God leads a man to repentance. So if a man is repentant, then a man has to have gone down the pathway of God's goodness. And so Satan comes in and he tries to roadblock or disrupt or get us to neglect the goodness of God, because if we neglect the goodness of God, then we never turn to him. So if you're witnessing Christ to somebody, what you want to try to get across to them is the goodness of God. Don't necessarily try to Christianize a heathen. Well, you shouldn't smoke. Well, you shouldn't drink, or you shouldn't do this. No, they should do that. Because even if they came to church and they were lost, it'd still be sin. The Bible says everything they do is sin. So when I witness to them, I always want to try to highlight the goodness of God, because it is that goodness that brings a man to repentance. And so Satan paralyzes people, and he paralyzes them by doubt. They doubt themselves. Oh, I could never be a Christian, Pastor. I could never stop doing this. Well, what they have to understand is they're not complete until they're saved. All right, we understand that. I flew by that this morning, but I want to touch on it again. A man is only complete when he's in Christ. And so my body is intact, and my soul is intact. It's condemned, but my spirit is dead. And so that ability to communicate with heaven, that ability to be obedient to the Word of God, and that ability to go by faith is non-existent until the Spirit of God quickens me, completes me, bursts me into the kingdom, and now it's no longer I, but who, did Paul say? Christ that liveth in me. And so when the Lord Jesus moves inside, quickens my spirit, now things that were impossible are now possible, because I can do all things through him. Amen? Amen. All right, I'll amen that one. That was a good one. Okay, so they doubt themselves. Well, I could never do that. Well, they're not complete until they come to know Christ. They doubt Christians. Now, that one there puts responsibility on you and me. By the way, I didn't give you a verse today because I flew by it, but let me give you this verse. You remember what Nathan said to David after he sinned with Bathsheba? He gives in 2 Samuel chapter 12. He says, "Thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. I don't ever want to be in that position, do you? I don't ever want to be in a position where somebody can look at my life and say, I don't want that kind of Christianity. I want people to be able to look at my life and say, man, there's something different about him. There's a joy of the Lord about him. I really want what he has. And so that really puts a lot of strength and a lot of energy into the fact of how we live our lives. I don't visit some places because I don't want people to see me in there. I don't do some things because I don't want people to see me in there. Why? Because I'm afraid of what they'll say about me? No, but I don't want them to say anything about my Lord. I caution you about that, where we go, what we do. And then, of course, they doubt Christ. So they're paralyzed by doubt. Some of them are paralyzed by discouragement. And I went by this real quick, too. Have you ever heard anybody say, I tried that? Have you ever witnessed to somebody and they say, I tried that, Pastor. I tried to be a Christian. I tried God. I tried, and that just didn't work for me. The problem is that they may have tried, but God was nowhere to be found. And so we all understand that. Really and truthfully, for somebody to say, I tried that, is the ultimate response of pride. Because that says, God let me down. Now you imagine how arrogant you have to be to say, God let me down. But I've got news for you. God's never let anybody down, ever, period. Nor will he let anybody down. And so people who say, I tried God, basically said, I tried to save myself. I tried to be Christian in my own abilities. And I tried that, preacher, but I'm just discouraged. And I don't want to be hard on those people, but truth be told, when you've truly been born again and you truly have the Spirit of God in there, it's no more trying. It's done, sealed, delivered. All right? And so they're paralyzed by discouragement because somebody taught them maybe an improper way to be saved, or they put their trust in something else, but they're paralyzed by doubt, discouragement, and then, of course, by sin. And so there was that man. He was in paralysis. If you look at verse number 3, he was sick of the palsy. Well, he had some friends, 4 friends. We're going to get to them in just a second. But they really show a picture of the church and the fact that they bring him to the Lord Jesus. Now, these friends knew something about the Lord Jesus that this man didn't know. It was not this man's idea to come to the Lord Jesus. Eventually, it does become his idea. But there's not even enough faith in the beginning for the Lord Jesus to move. He moves according to his friends' faith. And so when he sees the faith of the friends, he's moved to begin to work on this. And finally, he does respond by faith. He gets up, he receives Christ. But they bring him because they know that he's a powerful Savior. By the way, I want to say this. I find myself doing this, and I get aggravated with myself, and I get aggravated when I hear other people say it. There is no reason in the world that you and I ever, ever need to be apologetic for the book. Okay? Never. And sometimes we invite people to Christ almost apologetically. We approach evangelism almost apologetically. And I do that sometimes in my own heart, my own spirit. And I'll hear myself and I'll be thinking, man, I'm witnessing to this guy from a position of weakness when I've got all eternity on my side. I've got God's glory. I've got God's power. I've got God's person. I've got God's authority. Everything that God has is behind the statement, come to Jesus and he will save you. So we don't need to be apologetic. These men weren't apologetic. They were focused in on getting their friend to the Lord Jesus because they knew the Lord Jesus could save him. And he is a powerful Savior. And by the way, not only is he powerful to save, but he's also powerful to keep. And he was powerful to use, as we saw at the end of verse number 12. All right, all of that was review. Now we get to tonight, and we talked about our paralyzed people, our powerful Savior. The third point, if you're taking notes, is the persistence of the saints. The persistence of the saints. Now, I asked you a question this morning that you were to think about, because here we find ourselves in Peter's house. And in Peter's house, they're all gathering, and the crowd is so great that they can't get inside to the Lord Jesus. I'm sure Peter's there by the Lord Jesus. So they go up on the flat roof and they begin to punch a hole in the roof. Now, could you imagine being Peter thinking, that's my roof. Who's going to fix that roof? who's going to do this? I'm not sure that if Peter could have got out of the crowd, he would have tried to stop him. But I'll tell you, God gave me a good thought here when he said, Tom, are you willing for your home to be broken up for souls? Now, I'm not talking about our marriages, but here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, are we willing for holes to be put into our life so people could be brought to the Savior? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm every bit secure in my comfort zone just like you are. I have a comfort zone. Everybody has a comfort zone. Sometimes people invade my comfort zone trying to talk to me, and I want to get away from them, and they keep coming closer. And I finally kind of do one of these numbers or something. You know, we have a comfort zone. But I wonder tonight if we're willing for our comfort zone to be rattled just a little bit. Just a little bit. And so I want to look at the persistence of these saints. Would you go to verse number 3 and verse number 4? There's three words here I want you to mark. They're easy to mark because they begin with the same letter. Verse number 3. And they come unto him. Now this is this little group. Bringing. I want you to underline that word bringing. They come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Underline the word born. So you've underlined bringing and you've underlined born. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken, I want you to underline the word broken, broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven you. Bringing, born, and broken. I want to take those three words, bringing, born, and broken, and really talk to us about how willing are we to be used of God in the area of winning souls. Now, I meant what I said today at the invitation time. I didn't mean to be hard, and I didn't mean to be ugly, and I didn't mean to be any of those things, but something not right if we've been saved for years and we've not won anybody to Christ. I know that's a hard statement to hear, but I'm going to tell you something. It's to be where we are to be used of God to win souls. And so I want to look at this, the persistence of the saints. Look at that word bringing. Bringing one sick of the palsy. Really the idea it carries with it is they were persistent. They were persistent in love. Persistent in love. And here you go, you got four friends, and they love their friend. And they love their friend so much that they want to bring him to the Lord Jesus. Now, that demands a question. What evidence is my love for somebody? You tell, I have friends that I love, I have family I love, and I have neighbors that I'm growing to love, and I have people that I love, but I ask you this. Do we really love them if we never tell them about the Lord Jesus? You see, really and truthfully, if I love somebody, then I'm deeply concerned about where they're going to spend eternity. And God help me to say that I care for somebody and I never share the gospel with them. You say, and I anticipated some questions. Pastor, how do you really love lost people? I hear you up there saying that I should love people, but how does that love grow? Because I love the Lord Jesus. I'm saved, Pastor, but I'm not sure that I really love people. I'm not sure that I like people all the time, let alone love them. How does a person love lost people? All right, here you go. I'm going to help you with this. Number one, I believe that the way that you love lost people is you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot love people without loving the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, that's so simple. I love the Lord Jesus. So, but I'm not sure I love lost people, so it's not measuring up. What do you mean? Well, let's look at how we love the Lord Jesus. You see, we say sometimes that we love the Lord Jesus, but if I love somebody, then I respond to that person. If I just told Beverly that I love her and I never responded to her in love, then what do you think our marriage would be like? Don't answer that, okay? Because that happens sometimes. But words go so far, but they better be backed up with action, okay? So I can say, and all of us would come in this church building tonight and we would say, I love the Lord Jesus. But if we did, then and we did truly, then we have a love for lost people. Well, how does that continue to work, Pastor? Well, here's how it works. If you love somebody, you think about them. If you love somebody, you communicate to them. If you love somebody, you give to them. If you love somebody, then you touch them. If you love somebody, you spend time with them. And so it's easy for me with my mouth to say, you know, I love the Lord Jesus. But I think sometimes it's a little bit lonely love because I say it, but I'm not there with him. Well, what do you mean? Well, do we spend time with him? You see, we're never going to have a love for lost people if we aren't in the book. And if we're not in with our Lord Jesus. I wrote some thoughts down. You want to begin to love lost people? Here's how you start. Number one. Fill your heart and your mind with the thoughts of the Lord Jesus. You ever just meditate on the Lord Jesus? Do you understand that he came to earth and was young and was vibrant and was full of life? And yet at 33 and a half years, he laid down his life for us? I think about the Lord Jesus. I think about him laying down his glory, stepping aside from that and coming to earth to become man. And I think about him walking this earth and people rejecting him and all of that. And my heart begins to grow in gratitude and thankfulness to him. I think about hell. You ever stop to think about hell? It's an awful place. When I think about that, it lends me to think about Calvary and Calvary's love. I think about his holiness. I think about his humility in Philippians chapter 2. I think about the fact that the sky grew black and God the Father turned his back on the Son for you and for me. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that the Word of God, I meditate that Word. I let it fill my heart, my thoughts toward the Lord Jesus. And you know what pretty soon happens? I begin to think different about people. The reason that we sometimes are lack a love toward those people is because we're not in the book the way we ought to be, and we're not loving the Lord Jesus outside of lip service, and so there's a bridge there. And it happens in my own heart. It happens in my own life sometimes, and I've got to get back and get in the Word and be fired up for him. By the way, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 11, the Bible says, and Paul writing there, says, knowing the terror or the grandeur of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade men. And so I say all that to say this. Here were four friends who loved their friend, but they had knowledge and trust and love for the Lord Jesus. Okay? Now, you transfer that to our lives. We say we love our friends, but if we had knowledge, love, and trust of the Lord Jesus, it would grip our souls to love them and bring them, and we would be persistent in that love to bring them to the Lord Jesus. Number two, not only were they persistent in love, but they were persistent in lifting. Would you look at that? He was born of four. That means that they actually had to bend down, pick up the bed, and they carried it, one on each corner. And their energy was his strength, and their legs were his legs, and their arms were his arms. And they were the transportation from A to B. They were the transportation from sickness to cleansing. And so not only were they bringing in love, but they were bearing him and lifting him. Now, I want to say a couple of things about this that I believe will help us as we look toward the winning of souls. Number one, we lift people in prayer. We lift people in prayer. Nobody gets saved unless somebody prays for them. We must pray for people. If I had a lost husband or a lost wife, or I had lost children, I do. I have a little baby that needs to be saved. I lift them to the Lord Jesus in prayer. Now, I ought to get an amen on this next statement. It is the will of God that all come to repentance. Amen. Okay? So, understanding that, I bear people, I born them, I lift them in intercessory prayer to the Lord Jesus. Now, just let me correct our thinking a little bit. We go to shows, we go to ball games, we go to cookouts, we do things. We spend time, and these are people that may be saved. And when we really begin to compare the amount of time we spend in physical relationships as opposed to the minuscule time we spend praying for lost people, we really can understand why our friends aren't coming to know Christ, can't we? I'm as guilty as anybody in this room. And when I think about that, I think, my God, how I want to be a person who lifts people in prayer. Also, they're lifted by personal testimony. Our personal testimony. These people were bringing their friend to the Lord Jesus because they already had knowledge of what he could do. Our testimonies and the grace of God, not only after we've prayed for somebody, but our personal testimonies and the grace of God in our life ought to help to lift those people. By the way, let me say this. All you need to witness Christ is your testimony. I'm going to say something, and it may be a little bit spooky to you, but just hang with me. I'll fix you in the end. I want you to do something. I want you to take a piece of paper when you get home, and I simply want you to take a pen and take a piece of paper, and I want you to write on paper your salvation testimony. Write it down. Go back to the day you got saved. Write down the events of the day. Write down what happened. Write out your personal testimony. Then once you've written it out, it probably will take a page and a half to 2 pages. Then you should go down and you should cut it out. Get that personal testimony of what Jesus Christ did for you down to about 3/4 of an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. That right there will be all you need to begin to witness Christ to people. A couple of things are going to happen. Sometimes you're going to sit down to write your testimony and you're going to realize you may not have one. It's kind of spooky. I hear people, I've been saved all my life. I grew up in the church. They sit down, write down how you got saved. Well, I don't know, Pastor. Interesting. But my testimony, what God did in my life, is the way that I lift people to the Lord Jesus. Another way is by praising him. Another way is by our gifts. Another way is by spreading the good news, by letting people know what Jesus Christ means to me. So they came and he was born of 4. He was brought in love. He was born and he was lifted together. And then you'll see in verse number 4, that they were persistent in labor in breaking through the roof. And here's where I really wanted to end my time tonight and just kind of challenge us a little bit. I wonder if there's not some things maybe as we begin to look at what God is doing in each of our lives individually. What in the world and where in the world is God getting glory out of my life? Does God get glory out of my life just working 9 to 5? Does God get glory out of my life because I've got a beautiful home or a good garden or I've got this hobby or this hobby? I think we really need to take some introspection, every person in the room, and see where is God using me and where am I being obedient in the Great Commission? And I go back to that passage there where they break through the roof. And I wonder if there's some things in our houses that we need to allow the Lord to break up. So there will be some access now for God to begin to work. So I wrote some things down. Maybe God needs to break up our heart so we have good soil. Maybe it's our schedules. You ought to look at your schedule and see where the Lord Jesus fits to that. Maybe it's our plans. Maybe it's our goals. Maybe it's some of our ideas. But I think these men had to break through the wall so they could let down their friend. And I think sometimes in our lives, there are some things that God has to break up or that we have to break up so there's some space where God could begin to plug us in and plug lost people in and do all of this and begin to use us for the salvation of others. Amen. Amen. It's not an easy lesson, and it's not an easy message, and it's not an easy day, but it's the Word of God. It's not designed to be easy. It's designed to be for God's glory. And so I'm not preaching in anger, and I'm not preaching in disappointment. I'm thrilled out of my gourd what God is doing here. But I want in my own personal life, I don't want there to be a ceiling somewhere, something in my heart, something in my life that's hindering me from winning souls. And I really want to give God access to that. And if it's there, either allow him to break it up or me break it up. But somewhere, as individuals, we need to look at what in the world we're doing. We need to look. And the next time somebody tells me that we're busy in South Florida, I'm going to bring this verse to them. So don't be the one to tell me that. I'm going to tell you right now. Right? Because that's a shame for me to say, well, I'm too busy for the things of God or to be used of God to win souls. I don't want to stand before God one day and say that. That's like the guy who came to the great preacher after he got done preaching on tithing, and he said, you know, I just make so much money. I don't know. I couldn't even figure out my tithe. He said, could you help me? He says, I got money coming from every area. I am filthy rich. How do I figure out 10%? Preacher, help me. Preacher said, oh, bless your brother. Come here, let me help you. Let's get down on our knees right here. Preacher grabbed him by the back of the neck. He said, now, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the honest intent of this man's heart. He said, I pray right now this evening, you reduce every bit of his income to his ability to figure out 10%. Now, what do you think? What do you think? Reduce it. But I think we ought to say, God, break up my roof. Break up my schedule. Break up my gym time. Break up these things, God. Let there be a hole because I want to win people to Jesus Christ. I'm thirsty for it. I am. I'm thirsty for it. I'm excited about it. They're everywhere. The fields are white unto harvest. Pray for laborers. Well, I can't think of better laborers than Plantation Baptist Church. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's be done. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We have a powerful Savior. And there are paralyzed people in this world. And I do believe that if there's ever a time for the church to be obedient to the Great Commission, it's now. We are to go in the name of the Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost, to love people, to lead people, to lift people, so that those people can know Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father God, it's a grand privilege to be saved. And it's a privilege, Heavenly Father, that we never want to take for granted. God, we are seeing people saved in our church, but we're also to be going forth. Four friends brought their friend because they loved him. And they loved him because they loved the Lord Jesus. They bore him and carried him because he couldn't come himself. They lifted him. God, we lift others in prayer. Watch you begin to work. Then, God, what was ever in the way of salvation, they broke it up. God, there's some great truth there for our own hearts and our own lives. Thank you, sir, for the word of God. Thank you for what you're doing here. Before I close, we're not going to have a come forward invitation tonight. We normally do. We're not going to do it tonight. We're ending the day. I just think in our seats, quietness of our soul, while Kevin plays softly, I wonder if you just take a few moments and spend some time with the Lord. If you desire to win souls, ask God, God, is there something in my life that needs broken up so I'd have time to be used of you? God, if I don't have a love for lost people, maybe it's because I'm not loving you. But I wonder, just where you're seated while Kevin plays, I give you a moment. Spend time with him. Heavenly Father, the psalmist said that we go forth weeping. God, may our time in the Word and our time with you just break our hearts. Bring us to a position of tears. Bring us to a position of a brokenness. Yield our lives to you for your use. We never saw it this fashion before. Let that be the testimony, Plantation Baptist Church. God, that we would be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.